BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We could beat Carolina. We could sweep Carolina, because even though I don't think Carolina going to win, what they won, like two games last year, one game, I forget what it was, one or two games. I think they win way more than that, but I still think the Saints could sweep Carolina. And that's the only team, no disrespect to my dogs, Dave and Rashad. And, of course, the Buccaneers. I think the Saints split with the Bucs this year as well. So if any team, and, of course, I'm going to have to see more, I think more than likely, if we do sweep, more than likely it can probably be Carolina, you know, but we'll see. And, of course, the Rams, I think we can – we'll see what's happening with the Rams. The Eagles is going to be difficult. Washington, I could say Washington, but I remember the last time we had a rookie quarterback we took on that was at Washington. That was RG3, and he ran the Saints all around the you know what I'm saying? He ran the Saints through the ringer. And Jaden Daniels is way better than RG3 in my book. And then, of course, the away games, Dallas is going to be difficult going up there to take them on. Green Bay was difficult. We had them and let them loose. Could we get some revenge there? Kansas City, you know what time it is with Pat Mahomes, boys. The Giants are still an enigma. And Harbaugh and the Chargers are going to be difficult. So do I see 10 games there? I don't know, fam. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, and it really depends on the state of what the offense is going to be moving forward. And like I said, it's who comes to play. The Saints have a lot of talent. And like I said, I got faith in Clint Kubiak. I know the defense is going to be strong this year with all those players I talked about. Like I said, but the only minus to the defense, if we can keep Laddie Daddy, the Saints defense will be probably a top five unit. But we're looking, they're probably going to end up trading Laddie Daddy. I don't know what they're going to trade him for, more than likely. You know, if they could, they probably would try to trade him for a pick and send him to a team and then acquire the money. That's, you know, I don't think they're going to trade player for player. I think it's probably going to be him for a pick, and that way they can keep the money some kind of way. You see what I'm talking about? So we'll see how it all shakes and goes, man. But I really gave the timeline there on that kind of stuff, all right? All right, and let's keep it going, family. Y'all ask y'all questions, please. Put Q next to it, man, with your question, so that I could tell the difference between that and the comment in the comment section. Let's start doing that. Let's make that a viable and positive change to the chat. If you got a question, put Q next to the question and then ask the question. And that way I can differentiate by just looking at first glance, the difference between just a regular comment and a question. That right there would be a good move there. All right, so let's move on to the next one right here. And this is the final one we'll talk about. This is an article from Bleacher Report that says QBs will be under the most pressure entering the 2024 season. And they got Daniel Jones up there. This is by Maurice Mouton. And he basically gives, like it says, the list of the you know, quarterbacks under the most pressure. And as you kind of go right on down, it says in the offseason, the most NFL teams will either build around a quarterback or acquire one to lead the franchise for the long term. And we've seen six quarterbacks come off in the first round of last year's, this past year's draft, this season's draft, six quarterbacks in the top 11 picks. A lot of people thought there would be like five. I thought there would be like five or six in the first round. I didn't know they'll be all clumped together in the top 11 picks. Now that's something I don't think a lot of people anticipated. So, you know, this is a quarterback driven league. You have to have a play caller that is competent to win in this league. You really do. People understand that. And a lot of these teams compiled and got them one in the draft. So anyway, when a team shows interest in a signal caller who's not on the roster, the incumbent starter can feel his seat get hot and hear the clock ticking on his tenure with the organization. Typically, quarterbacks under the most pressure have a young upstart playing behind them on the depth chart or an expiring contract. With that in mind, let's discuss seven QBs who will enter the 2024 season under the most pressure to keep their jobs or solidify themselves as starters. So who you think the first guy is of the list is Derek Carr. Hey, Mr. Carr. Derek Carr of the New Orleans Saints leads the list. Why do you say that? In 2023, the Saints signed Derek Carr to a four-year, $150 million contract. Thanks a lot, Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen. And gave him no trade clause. In his first season with the team, he threw for almost 3,900 yards with 25 touchdowns against eight interceptions. While the 33-year-old seems like he's a stable situation with job security, his 24 performance can have a major impact on his short-term outlook with the team. Why do you say that? Well, the article is not going to tell you that, but the reason why it could be a short-term outlook is because if he doesn't perform up to snuff and the Saints don't win this year, Dennis Allen will be fired. Dennis Allen ain't going to make it into another year of 4 years of non-playoff football is not going to be accounted for. Mickey Loomis has done everything he can to protect Dennis Allen. He doesn't criticize him at all, even though he does all this weird shit. He doesn't criticize him, doesn't criticize nothing he do. When the team fails, they blame injuries or they come up with weird ass things that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Just totally ridiculous. No accountability, just stupidity all over the place. You know, who's not at fault if it's not the head coach of the team and you got talent? Who's not at fault here? Never the head coach, though. And Mickey Loomis ain't no disciplinarian anyway. He don't know. He ain't going to go and tell his coach anything. He don't. His measurement is, well, I just leave the goddamn guys alone. I go close my door. Listen, I am tell you, I got a refrigerator in my office, and I got a refrigerator with clam chowder, Boston style clam chowder. I got a Zatarain's in there, and I just take it out, and I put the Zatarain's in the clam chowder. I go to work, and I got some gourmet orange juice. So I am my gourmet orange juice, my clam chowder. I go to work. Leave me alone. Leave me the hell alone. But you know, that's his measurement. His style is to let you go and do your thing. And if you sink the ship and run it up against the Titanic, he'll come out and spin, you know, the fact that Bill Belichick and Bill Walsh, they ran these ships into the Titanic before. And he's got all this foolishness. This is crazy. But anyway, this offseason, the Saints have hired offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak to replace Pete Carmichael Jr., which indicated dissatisfaction with the offense despite Carr's passing numbers. Now, let's stop right there. And this is where the great Saint think tank gets busy with his breaking some shit down. Now, let's kind of peek into that paragraph right there. You know, the Pete Carmichael part, which indicated dissatisfaction with offense despite Carr's passing numbers. The reality of it is they allowed Pete Carmichael to be the offensive coordinator for the entire year, even though he did not deserve to be the offensive coordinator for the entire year. He deserved it to be demoted or his position switched up by using his passing game coordinator to come in there and say, hey, man, let's kind of switch this around. Let him call the plays for a little bit. Let's see how everything responds. You know, let's change up some stuff here with this offensive line. Let's let Jari kind of run things for a little bit, Doug. You know? And then none of those assistant coaches would then say, you know what, this is a damn shame. You can't do me this. No, because they were both failing. The offense wasn't blocking well. Pete Carmichael's calling was vanilla, and he wasn't getting anything done. It was just ridiculous. And no change happened. Dennis Allen didn't touch it. Now, despite the fact, like I said this before, there were several times during the season when the great Saint think tank and the entire Who Dat Nation was pushing for Dennis Allen to force change on the offensive side of the ball, which means to either change up the offensive coordinator by having Curry to call the plays or do something with Doug Marrone. Let Jari Evans do his thing. Give him more power if you needed to raise them up and have something, do something. He didn't do a damn thing the whole year. And then when the offense, you know, finally got going, it was too late. And then at the end, he scapegoat Pete Carmichael. That's what happened. And that's the problem I have with Dennis Allen. You don't sit on your ass for an entire year and watch the offense stink, literally watch the offense stink and struggle, and then don't do nothing about it, and you're the head coach. And you had people three times during the year having him coming out and say, we're going to make some changes. We're going to make some changes. We're going to make some changes. And don't do a damn thing till the season is over with. Then he fires Pete Carmichael. He scapegoated the man. He scapegoated him. You can't do that, man. If Dennis Allen if he's going to improve as a head coach, when he sees stuff looking crazy on that side of the ball, you get your sashaying ass over there and do something about it. And if you're too scared, send one of your send an assistant over there. Tell him, hey, go tell that guy over there that I'm giving the job to somebody else, because you know you're not confrontational. I seen how you handle Arthur Smith. You won't grip his belly when a man cussing at you. Ain't no grown ass man gonna cuss at me, and I'm gonna touch on his belly. Say, calm down, man. Calm down. Are you kidding me? You know, whatever. If you had good intentions and the guy coming at you, cursing at you, that go out the window. Take a note from Darren Rizzi and grow some balls. Why don't you? Sheesh. Still hot about that. You know what I'm saying, fam? How dare you? Guy cursing at, well, you know, let me go apologize to this guy because that was wrong. Then this son of a bitch come out, he cursing at you. Wah, 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 bah, 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 bah. And then you're like, calm down, guy. You're right. Man, shut up, Dennis Allen. You know? But it's just ridiculous, man, on its face. But this is one of the problems I have with Dennis Allen, because at the end of the year, see, I remember what they say. He came out at the end of the year and said he was pissed about how the season went. I was like, oh, you freaking kidding me? This is the same bastard that had every chance to change things around, and he sat on his ass for the entire season, didn't change nothing, then got the nerve to tell us at the end of the year, hey, man, I'm pissed about the season. Now, how many stinking, disgusting, awful, rotten, ungodly, unconscionable, unfathomable, ridiculous, back-ass, cowardly, stinking-ass losses that we had to endure? Not one time did that effing guy tell you or me, you know what, New Orleans, I apologize to you. But he gonna apologize to the Falcons coach? He didn't tell your ass he's sorry for not one damn loss that he had for all these stinking-ass years he been here. But he gonna apologize to the Falcons coach? Really? Yeah. And then, of course, secondly, the Saints have taken a quarterback in the middle rounds of the last two drafts. They took Hayner in the fourth round last year and Spencer Rattler in the fifth round this year, with two young quarterbacks behind him on the depth chart. Carr may be looking over his shoulder after poor performances in upcoming season. Don't you bet on it. And I'm going to tell you one good reason why he ain't worrying about guys over his shoulder. I'm going to tell you one big old reason. It's $150 million. And another reason is Dennis Allen. That's his boy. That's Dennis Allen's boy. Dennis Allen tried to trade for him. He didn't want to come here. He wanted to go to the open market. Nobody was going to give him that kind of money. Dennis Allen was, here, take this blank check and write whatever you want on it. You think Dennis Allen going to bench his guy? Man, please, man. You're not dealing with a head coach that thinks logically. You're not dealing with that type of person, man. You're not dealing with that. That's why we got mixed results here, because he don't follow football principles all the time. It's very weird and odd watching Dennis Allen. Traditional football concepts that you can't even debate on because they're time tested. Oh, that's overrated. And I'm like, every time he says something's overrated, it's just he's making some dumb comparison about something. Like he made the comparison about the tackles. Oh, that the left tackle and the right tackle, it don't really matter. That's overrated. What are you talking about? No, it's not. We're going to see how overrated it is. You got two young offensive tackles that got to protect your 33-year-old quarterback that spent 2 months after the end of the season not doing anything so he can rehab what he called 3 broken ribs and a tore-up shoulder. We covered that in the previous stream. He said it took him 2 months after the season where he didn't do nothing, that he had to rehab from his injuries during the season. And the man asked him in the article, well, how you was able to play with all this and you couldn't do it off season? Let's just say the wonders of chemistry. What? And the man was like, the wonders of chemistry or some nonsense. No. You just pumped you up with the painkiller. And we knew it was pumping up with painkiller because if his eyes was any buckier, they would have came out his goddamn head. Remember, I was pinpointing, look at this guy. This guy don't even know what planet he on right now. And he out there looking, and I felt, you know what? And I feel bad for that dude, man, after fight. Because I was looking, I saw this dude pumped up on painkillers. Eyes bucking all out of his head, scared half to death. Man, that boy gave a whole new definition to the deer in the headlight look. his eyes bucking out of his head, you know, scared as hell. Terrible. Through the first, he says, though the four-time Pro Bowler has a no-trade clause, the Saints can designate him as a post. That's not going to happen. June 1st cut and save $30 million in cap space next offseason per over the cap. Saints not going to do that. Even with Dennis Allen not on the team, the Saints ain't going to put that guy in the street. And Mickey Loomis is not going to let that happen. Now, if there was another general manager that came in and took the job from Mickey Loomis, I would consider that. But it's because I know Mickey Loomis and I know Dennis Allen. I know these guys are not going to do that. They're not going to do that. Remember in 2023 offseason, the Raiders cut Carr to save cap space, even though they had a no trade clause with him. They was done with him at that point, and they didn't want him to Garrett. We know they benched him so they could try to trade him. They couldn't trade him, so ended up putting him in the street because nobody would take the, you know, they didn't want Carr. Only team that really wanted Derek Carr was the Saints and Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen seen something in Derek Carr that very few people around the league seen. You know, he fancies him as that guy, and perhaps in the correct system, he can be that guy. You know, I'm not going to tell you no wrong. I think he can be that guy with play action. He has to become play action Carr to get that. Anyway, let's keep it going. New Orleans has missed the playoffs in Allen's 2 years as the head coach. And if the Saints don't clinch a 2024 postseason berth, he may lose his job, which may cloud Carr's future with the team. Because quarterback's performance has significant impact on a team's success, he can strengthen or weaken head coach Dennis Allen. If he plays well, it strengthens Dennis Allen's job. Now, like I said, the version that I've seen since I've seen Carr play here that works is play action Carr. I keep saying the same damn thing. It's play action Carr. Carr has to be he has to be a complement quarterback at this stage. He's 10 years deep in a game. What you see from Derek Carr is what you're going to get. You're not going to see anything. He's already ceilinged out. He's not going to get even higher or better than what he is unless you have a taskmaster head coach or QB coach or offensive coordinator that's on his back to force him to look out for things that he's not supposed to do, like give him a clock in his head, like teach him to stop staring down the side of the field. If you got a guy like that, then you'll get a little bit more out of Derek Carr because that's what Chucky was. Chucky would cuss at him and fuss at him, and he would stay on his throat. And that's why he performed better with Chucky was there versus anybody else. But that's, you need a taskmaster for a Carr. And I don't like that come to think about it, because you're making $150 million. You should be able to motivate your own goddamn self. You shouldn't need a taskmaster. You should be the first in the building, the last one to leave, you know, that kind of stuff. And don't make no excuses. Anything bad happens to the team is my fault. If you do even have a solid game, give it to your team. That's what's called for. That's what it is. And what does he get? He get $150 million goddamn dollars. That's what he get. So Carr developed a great relationship with Allen during a time with the Raiders in 2014. He drafted the man. If the Saints dump the coach, the new regime may also go in another direction at quarterback, unless the new regime don't include Mickey Loomis as the general manager. And like I said, and listen, I'm not just talking just to talk. Many people listen to the show know when I talk hierarchy with the Saints, I'm talking troop talk. I'm talking that real deal. And nobody could dispute me on that because it's facts. When I start talking about Dennis Lucia, which is the president of football operations for the New Orleans Saints, the guy that know football like that. You need a guy that knows football. And I like Dennis Lucia as a businessman because he makes some money. He's a good businessman. But at the end of the day, you need more than a businessman. We're talking football on the field. We need somebody that's high up there, that's a decision maker, and that's a person that knows football at that level and that need to move and understand that as because this, the Saints are an older team when you get above the assistant general manager, which is Kai Hartley. They're an older team. You got Mickey in his 60s. You got Gail, how old she is, and you got Dennis Lucia. Man, let me tell you something. That's not Mickey Loomis. I'm uncomfortable with Mickey Loomis being the biggest football brain in the building. I'm uncomfortable with that. I really am uncomfortable. If it's not, I'm really uncomfortable with that because if he had good decision making, he would take the general manager job and give it to a younger person who's qualified. And Kai Hartley's qualified. Or even if he gave it to Jeff Ireland, I would respect that because at least Jeff Ireland is a guy that understands the game. You know, I would be even cool with that. It's just as long as it's not the same person. We need multiple people up there, not just that, but people that's willing to pull the trigger on decisions to understand, hey, man, we've been banking out and making money. It's time to give these people a winning product. They're not going to take this no more. You're going to start losing money. They're already saying that they ain't going to show up at the games because you stupidly out here protecting dumbasses and you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. And they clearly see what you're doing. They're not buying your bullshit. They're not listening to us. They're not listening. There's the guy in Big Q and Jerry and Tori and everybody, those guys over there, man, they're letting us have it every night. They're telling us, man, I'm old and I can't be a VP and a general manager, but goddamn it, I'm a be there for 10 years. You can't do that, man. You can't sit up here on your ass talking about you're going to be the VP for 10 years. Are you kidding me? That means you're going to be buying all them damn tickets by yourself. That's what's going to end up happening because you don't have it anymore, my man. And it's okay because it happens. Sometimes at the game passes us all by. At some point, it passes us by. It's just what it is, especially if you plan it or whether you were in there as a general manager. And hell, listen, remember Ozzie, Ozzie Newsome? But y'all remember the great Ozzie Newsome, who was the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens for years. One of the greatest general managers that ever was. And he did a lot. He made the Baltimore Ravens a solid. He always came through with solid drafts. He always brought in really good players. He made a handful of mistakes, but he was always thorough in keeping them relevant. And every damn year, Baltimore was in the playoffs fighting. They might not have won the Super Bowl, but they were competing every year. Every year they were there competing. Every damn year. You know, and the game passed him by. He retired. So who is this guy? Who the hell is this guy? You know, now he couldn't carry Ozzie's damn dinner lunches. He couldn't carry his briefcase. You know, so yeah, man, crazy. But anyway, that's the article right there, man. Listen, I'm gonna get ready to get on up out of here. Let me hit up the list right quick and see if the family members have any questions before I get on up out of here, man. I just want to talk to y'all about this. Charles says, to be honest, QRC 11 wins. If we play up to the personnel we have, we should sweep the South. Well, and like I said, bro, I appreciate your confidence. I just don't, you know, I need to see more, you know, from the team, because like I said, I don't lost faith on many aspects of this team because they don't operate the way a football organization should operate. They're not accountable. Nobody's evaluating anybody at the top levels. I know for a fact Dennis Lucia does not evaluate Mickey Loomis, because when they did the interviews with Dennis Lucia early this year in the offseason, he said Mickey Loomis was doing a great job. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The man ain't, we ain't been in the playoffs in three goddamn years. You talking about he's doing, what part of great are you talking about, man? But you got to see where he coming. He talking about money. See, he could just keep promising you stuff and never deliver. And that's the worst thing you can do to people, is keep sitting up here and promising them something, lying to them. Well, we're going to do this and do that, and then fall short. They come up with a bunch of excuses. We're done with that, man. So if you don't like the monster that you hear talking to you, well, you know what? Take goddamn credit, because you created this. You created who this is, who you listening to right now, buddy. You created them. You created them. And we've seen the game over and over and over again, and we tired of playing this bullshit. Give us a good product or get your ass up off that seat. That's the bottom line. I don't want to hear nothing else. H-Town Creole says they always trade the wrong player since the Breeze era. T-Rob says, who that? Shout out to you, bro. Tuck says, Q, do you think Hayner or Rattler will back up Carr or someone else? Or somebody else? Well, Tuck, shout out to you first and foremost. Appreciate the question. Rattler obviously seems to be the talk of the town, but that's a diva position. You know what I'm saying? The QB position is a diva position to a degree, even though it's not as spicy as this year. It's spicier because Rattler's resume is better than what Hayner's was. And the fact that we're more focused on the philosophy switch, and we know that Clint Kubiak believes that Rattler could be the quarterback down the line that can run the system. Like we said, Derek Carr is 33 years of age. He even said so. He's the same age as Taysom Hill. So at some point, you're looking at, plus he had those broken ribs, you know, and you got a young offensive line, and hopefully the Saints run the ball and be smart about it and don't sit up there
and try to throw it more than they run it, you know, at least try to set up the play action. But I kind of see my thought process. I see Rattler as one of the quarterbacks. I still, for whatever reason, and it's because I know Dennis Allen's and Mickey Loomis is thinking, I think that some kind of way Nate Peterman is going to be one of the other quarterbacks. And I think Rattler is going to be the other quarterback, and Hayner more than likely is going to be a practice squad guy that they keep, and they can keep four, but one to be a practice squad guy, and somebody just going to peel from off the practice squad, just like they did the guy we picked a couple of years ago, who we picked him up from Notre Dame, Ian Book. And now he's with Philly. So, I mean, that's how I think it's going to go. I really do think it's going to go like that, to be honest, which I ain't kidding about it. I admittedly, 2L says the offense was whack. Then he apologized to our rivals coach when they're the Saint. He says, when they're the Saints' most heated rival, that's why I don't believe he'll take this to the beast mode. Yeah, and I was saying that years, that all of the disgusting, horrible losses we experienced, not one time Dennis Allen opened up his goddamn disgusting mouth and said to the Who Dat Nation, I apologize for all this failure. This is on me. That's not in him. That's why I don't like him. There is no accountability with this man. All these disgusting ass wins, I mean, these losses, pardon me, that we had, and bad football that we experienced with all of the indecision, indecisiveness. Not one time he fixed his mouth to apologize for you for nothing, because he felt like he didn't owe you no apology for stinking it up over the last couple of years, right? But then apologize to Atlanta. That's my talking point, bro. Kenneth says, Q, last season was more shady than Shooter McGavin trying to get Happy Gilmore kicked out. Yes, indeed. Shout out to you, fam. Appreciate you. All right, what's happening, Ken? How you doing, man? Hindsight's always 20/20. Not unless you got sight off top, bro. If hindsight, you're right. Hindsight is 20/20, but shit, I was saying this before it happened. Bro, it's not hard to tell. It's not hard to tell, bro. It isn't. Really, it's not. It's not hard to tell, fam. You ask the family members in the chat, say, man, Q was saying this shit during the season, man. That's why I'm like, that's why I have this attitude about all of this, man. And they're like, really? Oh, we really, you know what? We need to do this. Like, man, I've been saying that shit for 2 goddamn years, man. 2 years. Because it's not hard to tell. It's not hard to tell. It's a certain rhythm, and it's like most success. If you study successful teams, and if you don't know how to win, and you see a successful team, how they operate, and we know it's a copycat league, they're going to copycat what they're doing. That's what the people were doing with the Saints. When the Saints were winning, they started emulating what the Saints was doing. That's why Atlanta came to New Orleans and got their personnel, started getting their administrators, because they say, man, New Orleans is having some success for 20 years. Not all those 20 years, but the offense was a top 10 unit, top 10, top 15 unit consistently for many years, despite the fact that people was trying to figure a way to slow Peyton down. He was always still able to turn out good numbers. But people's like, man, it's so much success that we need to emulate that. And that's what you start seeing teams do. They start emulating the Saints style. They're not doing that no more. The Saints are not the Saints are not the trendsetters no more. They're now going somewhere and emulating somebody else. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? Think about what I just said, fam. Think about what I said. The Saints were trendsetters, man. For 20-something years, we set trends offensively and set records offensively. We're no longer trendsetting. Now we got a follower running the team, and now we got a new philosophy. We took the 49ers philosophy, and now we want to live with that. Other stuff didn't work. Let's go with this. No, if you had an offensive coordinator with some balls that knew what the hell he was doing, then Sean Payton's offense would work here. It worked for 20 years. And you had a milquetoast Pete Carmichael, who then that's the problem with Pete Carmichael. He didn't have any balls. He was a beta of, you know, he was everything else but an alpha. He didn't call that offense with no intensity, nothing. I mean, it's a big deal. And if you run any system is liable to fail if you don't put the right amount of the proper perspective or the proper energy into it. So even though the 49ers have a brilliant system, if the Saints don't run it correctly, it could still fail too, you know? It's just, man, I'm telling you, man, I recognize a lot of stuff, man. about this team. T. Will says, when Q said, get a defensive coach to say it for Dennis Allen, bone to Alonzo, you got to twist it, homie. You got to put John. Yes, indeed. Shout out. I know, bro. I'll be getting buck on it, man. I'll be getting buck on them, bro, because, man, they deserve it, man.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.